We're doing the book of Hosea. We're up to what's called the ninth chapter, the third pasuk. Baruch Hashem, we're making good headway. Pretty soon we will move on to the next book in Shayasa. The Navi had been saying that Ephraim, the northern tribes, will be exiled. And the Navi had said, don't be happy like the nations are happy, because you have what to be sorrowful over. You should be sorrowful over your behavior. You have not been faithful to Hashem. Quite the contrary. You prefer to go with the pagans. And so Hashem says, I will ensure that there will not be grain or wine for the people, but quite the contrary. They'll invest in growing them and they won't grow. And we're up to Pasuk Gimel. We'll dedicate our learning this morning to Chaya Sarah Bat Yosef. The Navi says, Lo yeshivu be'eretz Adonai v'shav Ephraim Mitzrayim uv'ashur tamei yochelu. They will not dwell in the land of Hashem. Notice how the Navi calls Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is Eretz Hashem, says the Targum Ba'arash Chinta Da'ashem. This is the land, not only the land that Hashem chose for us, but also the land that Hashem chose for Him. The Eretz Hashem, this is the land that's God's land. We are called God's people, this is called God's land. And Hashem says, if you are going in the ways of the pagans, you will be exiled. Lo yeshivu, they will not remain with permanence. The word lashivet could mean to sit, to inhabit, or to have permanence, to remain. Lo yeshivu, they will not have permanence. They will not remain in the land of Hashem. V'shav Ephraim Mitzrayim, Ephraim, the northern tribes, will return to Egypt. That's always a painful statement. They will return to Egypt. Half a millennium, or a millennium has passed since we left Egypt. And still it's called we're returning. Still, that's where you came from. Uvashul tamei ochelu, and when they'll be exiled to the Assyrian Empire, they will eat defiled food. What does it mean, tamei ochelu? So, the Navi in Yechezkel says, he bakes his bread in the earth, and the bread gets mixed with rocks. And then he tells the Jews, you see how I'm eating my bread all filthy? I don't have a normal oven to bake it. Well, that's an allusion to you. This is the way you, when you will be traveling in exile, will be eating your bread all tamei. And from here, Chazal derived that the word tamei does not only mean spiritually defiled, but also something which is uncouth is called tamei. And so Chazal tell us, when one comes to eat bread, if one does not wash his hands, we say his hands are tamei. Even though technically he says, I think my hands were clean, I didn't do anything dirty with them. We say, no, your hands are always busy. They're always doing something, scratching your head, scratching your back, picking things up from the floor. If you haven't been washing your hands, they're tamei. One must wash his hands. A person washes his hands, he figures, my hands are taho, my hands are pure, I just cleaned them. Tell us Chazal in the Gemara and Sota. If he approaches the bread and he didn't dry his hands well, they're still moist? Go shake someone's hand. What do they think? Ah, his hands are still wet. Chazal say that's uncouth. To wash your hands and then come to eat the bread when your hands are not completely dry, that's also tamei. That's derived from this. That uva'ashul tamei yochelu, or more accurately, the pasuk in Yechezkel, kacha yochelu bnei Yisrael lachmam tamei vagoyim, that the word tamei doesn't only mean defiled spiritually, the word tamei also means in an uncouth fashion. So the Navi is warning them, they will return to Egypt, they will be exiled to the Assyrian Empire, and they will eat their food in a disgusting fashion. They won't be able to eat it in a couth fashion. Lo yisichu ladonai yayin velo yevulom zivcheihem kilechem onim lahem kol ochelav yitama'u kilachmam lenafsham lo yavo beit Adonai. And the Navi is doing what he's been doing throughout the book. He speaks about Ephraim and the imminent destruction. And then he goes over to talk about Yehuda, the southern tribes, and describe how they're going in the footsteps of Ephraim. And so Hashem turns to the southern tribes, to the tribes of Yehuda, and says, I'm not interested in their libations, their pouring of wine before me. Lo yisichu l'Hashem yayin. Velo yervulo, not interested in it. It's not sweet before me when you do that. What is the word yervulo? Yervu, it will be sweet. We say it every morning in davening. We daven to Hashem. Ve'ha'arev no. Hashem Elokeinu estivrei sorascha befinu. Right? Part of Birchas HaTorah. We ask Hashem, ve'ha'arev no. Please make the Torah sweet for us. Hashem says, lo yervulo zibcheihem. They're sacrifices won't be pleasant, they won't be sweet before Hashem. Kelechem onim lahem. It is like stolen bread in God's eyes. Kol ochelav yitamau, just like anyone who eats stolen bread gets defiled, they become disgusting people. So too, kilachmam lenafsham. The sacrifices they bring would be better if they left them home. Eat them yourself, because God's not interested. God says, you live these lives, these immoral lives, I don't want the sacrifices. And here we have a concept which shows up throughout the Torah. This is the first Beis HaMikdash, towards the end of the first Beis HaMikdash. Hashem tells us, a person who went with a prostitute sent her a gift, an animal, etnan zona. Biblical prohibition, you're not allowed to bring it to the temple. You're not allowed to bring a sacrifice, a gift that was sent as a gift to a prostitute. Biblical prohibition. Why is that so important?
How does a prostitute then give korbanot?
Good question. Bezrat Hashem, one of these days we'll learn the halachot. But the idea behind it is that we sometimes think, you know, if I stole $1 million, so I'll give $10,000 charity. I'm not a bad guy. And a person sometimes feels like he led a good life. There was a Jew in New York who stole a whole lot of money. And he gave a whole lot of charity. And he had a lot of honor. I mean, up until recently. Now he's sitting behind bars. The Torah says, when a person's money isn't clean, Hashem says, I don't want it. I don't want a person to have the capacity to think, well, I do good things with the money. No, Hashem says, don't bring me that kind of money. Hashem says to the Jewish people, when you lead lives like this, keep your wine, keep your sacrifices, I don't want it. Don't feel self-righteous because you've brought a sacrifice. Keep your sacrifices. Matasu liyom moed ulyom chag Adonai. Yom moed can be understood as the day of a holiday, but really moed means a set time. Hashem says, what are you going to do when that set day comes and the enemies come to your gates? There will be a day of retribution. There will be a day when the enemies come to destroy Jerusalem. What are you going to do then? What's going to be on the day Chag Hashem? What does the word Chag mean? Chag is like Yachogu Yanu Kashiko. When a person sways, when a person goes in circles a little bit. So that's called a chag. So on the holidays, they used to like dance in circles, go in circles. So the holidays are called a chag. But Hashem says, what are you going to do when that day comes, when Hashem brings such rampage, such murder to the gates of Jerusalem, that there'll be blood flowing in Jerusalem like the holidays when they had blood flowing in the temple from the sacrifices? Hashem says, don't bring me your sacrifices on the holidays, but think about what you're going to do on the days that will be instead of the holidays. I gave you set days to rejoice before me, but now there's a set day for destruction. There's a set day when the streets of Jerusalem will be rolling with blood. And Hashem says, just as you're thinking of your holidays and that those sacrifices find favor in my eyes, don't think of the holidays. Think of the day when there'll be destruction. And what are you going to do then? When they run from their land because they're being plundered by the enemy, they'll be gathered by the Egyptians and they will be murdered there and they will be buried there. This is a reference to what happened this week, many years ago. What's the story? After the destruction of the temple, son of Nebuchadnezzar knew that there were Jews hiding in the hilltops, knew that there were Jews in different locations throughout Israel that he hadn't conquered. And so Nebuchadnezzar took a governor, Gedaliah ben Achikam, who was a tzaddik, and he appointed him in Israel, and he said, you ensure that they don't rebel against me again, and you govern over the people, whatever remains here. There was a person, Ishmael ben Netanyah, he wanted to come and he wanted to lead the Jewish people. They warned Gedaliah that Ishmael ben Netanyah wanted to assassinate him. Gedaliah said, I don't believe Lashon Hara. Gedaliah was a tzaddik. Ishmael ben Netanyah came with his men, murdered Gedaliah and his men, and then the Jews heard about it and they came and they got rid of Ishmael ben Netanyah. And then the Jews asked the Navi Yirmiyahu, what should we do? What's going to happen when the Babylonian king Nebuchadnezzar hears that we've assassinated his governor? Yirmiyahu said, don't ask me because you're not going to listen. They said, no, we'll listen. Yirmiyahu said, I'll only tell you if you promise to listen. So they said, we promise, we'll listen. Yirmiyahu said, well, if you stick around, things will work out. If you run down to Egypt, you'll all die in Egypt. They didn't listen. They took Yirmiyahu by force, and they all ran down to Egypt, and they all died in Egypt. And Nebuchadnezzar came after them and killed them in Egypt. And had they stayed, like the Navi told them, there would have been Jews in Israel. Because they ran out of fear, did not listen to the Navi.
Out of fear of what?
Fear of Nebuchadnezzar.
Why?
They said, we murdered his governor. That's the greatest sign of rebellion. He's going to say, you know, I left them here. I gave them the capacity to stay, and this is what they do with my governor. So they ran, and they were all killed. So that's what the Navi's talking about. He's saying, it's going to reach a point where there's going to be total desolation in Israel. That's what happened. When Gedaliah ben Achikam was assassinated and the Jews ran in fear, that's when the destruction was complete. Had the Jews not fled, we would have had the land of Israel throughout the period of the exile. The whole exile would have looked differently. And the return would have looked differently. When we returned, we were challenged with the fact that there was no Jewish presence here. And so when the Jews returned, they had no leaders. The Jews intermarried. When Ezra finally comes up out of Babylon years later, because his Rebbe Baruch ben Neriah, the disciple of the Navi Yirmiyahu, passes away. So then Ezra comes up. He finds the Jews are doing business on Shabbos. The Jews are married to Gentile women. And there are a group of people who are idol worshippers who live in Shomron called the Shomronim, the Kutim. And they say, we're the Jews. Who are you? So Ezra has to contend with all of that. He puts together a court and starts beating people up. He gathers them. He reads before them the Torah and tells them, you got to do this. This is what the Torah says. No doing business on Shabbos. You're not even allowed to use a fork on Shabbos. They institute muktzah, and they go to the extreme. Mokitza means no utensils could be used. No forks, no knives. Eat with your hands. Shabbos. First, we got to go to the extreme. After the people get the concept, hey, wait, we can't do business on Shabbos. We can't deal with this. Then they lighten up a little bit. And until we reach the point of Mokitza nowadays. Ezra comes in. He finds the Jews are ruined. Why were the Jews ruined? It all began with the complete destruction, which began with Gedaliah's assassination. And that's why we fasted this week. Tzom Gedaliah is the fast over the decimation of the land of Israel. Everything was destroyed on Tisha B'Av, but Jews remained. Had that core remained, everything would have looked differently. The destruction was complete when we assassinated our own. We completed the destruction. And when we fled out of fear, not listening to the Navi. Think about it. That's a fascinating concept. All the nations gathered with the thought to destroy us, and they couldn't destroy us, and they couldn't even destroy us from the land of Israel. There were still Jews here. And they conceded that they can't win, so they're going to leave a governor. When did we lose our hold on the land of Israel? When we ran out of our own fear. So the Navi says, Hinei halechu mishod. Behold, they ran because they were plundered by their own men. Mitzrayim tekavetzem, and so the Egyptians will gather them, Nof, which is a city in Egypt. That might be Nof, the capital of Egypt. Tekavereim, they will be buried there. Machmad lechaspam. Kimo shir Hashem, choach ve'aholeihem. Their homes in which they hide their wealth. Kimosh. Kimosh is a type of thorn, and it's a reference to the fact that desolation will inherit all the wealth that they always loved, that they gathered. All of that's going to be destroyed, and the land is going to be taken over by weeds and thorns. Their tents will be overtaken by weeds and thorns. Everything will be destroyed. Ba'u yemei hapekuda. God says, now the days have come for an accounting. An accounting for the lives that they've led. Ba'u yemei hashilom. The time has come to pay them for this behavior. Yedu Yisrael. And they should know that it's coming. Evil hanavi meshuga ish haruach. They will recognize that these false prophets that keep promising them, go your pagan ways, everything will be okay, don't worry, things will work out. Soothsayers. Evil hanavi, they're derelicts, these prophets. Meshuga ish haruach. He's crazy, this man, they call him the man of the spirit. That's not true. They don't have any spirit. They're crazy. People think if you're crazy and you wear a white turban and you walk to the city center wearing white clothing and you have a few people running after you with their tongues sticking out, you know what you're talking about. Sorry, Meshugai Yisharuach. Just because he's called a man of a spirit, he could be crazy. Yeah, a lot of people destroyed their lives because they decided that he's a Mikubah. We have it today too. Every few months, a guy from the Machon is contemplating whether to get engaged or not. And every few guys that contemplate getting engaged decide to go to someone we never heard of and let them decide the decision of their life. Someone who never met them before says, what's the numerical value of your name and her name? What's going on here? Al rov avonecha v'rabam astemam. Why is this destruction coming? Because of the great sins, and because God is containing enmity that is building up and will ultimately burst forward. Bezat Hashem, we'll pick up here next time.